Hello, and welcome to the third part of three on DevOps and non-technical parts. In this session, we'll be talking about DevOps tooling and tooling that supports DevOps. My name is Paul LaBerge, and I'm a technical solution specialist with Microsoft and our developer and cloud platform group. So just quick summary, we did two sessions already, one on the culture or the people aspects of DevOps. And then in the second session, we did a talk around the process associated with DevOps and effective processes that enable people to deliver value to end customers at a quicker pace and at a higher quality, those types of things, which are ultimately the end goals of a DevOps process. So we started the talks by basically talking about how software delivery has evolved over time from, traditional waterfall methodologies, which work even today, but they are becoming a little less interesting because of the fact that with businesses requiring, functionality at a quicker pace, waterfall doesn't really fit into that because you're looking at monolithic releases over a year to 8 months to a year, for example, for a single release. So typically customers need to wait that long to actually get the functionality they've requested, and by that time maybe the requirements have changed and things of that nature as well, which have led to more iterative methodologies for software delivery, such as Agile, such as Scrum, and a few other things of that nature. The intent here is that you deliver incremental value to the end user. So you deliver less functionality in a release, but that release takes a whole lot less time than it has in the past. So instead of that 8 to 12 months for a release, maybe it's you release every month or every week or every day or even several times a day, depending on how mature your organization is with those iterative methodologies. But the intent here is that you're actually being able to adapt more easily and more quickly to the changing needs of the business who you are serving with your software that you're delivering as well. Down the road, you might end up with a situation where the methodologies will change again. So just like we evolve over time, everybody will be doing something different, for example, maybe 20 years down the road or even 5 years down the road with software. So software development methodologies will evolve over time just like we do. And so we don't know what those look like, but the intent here is that you create a capability within your organization that is able to adapt to whatever changes as well, so that it's not painful necessarily, or at least you're minimizing or mitigating some of that pain associated with change with your organization with respect to software delivery. It's an evolutionary process, like I said before. Change is inevitable, so I think everybody in the industry needs to understand that your roles will change over time, your responsibilities will change over time, the way you deliver software will change over time. And that's really where DevOps comes in, because DevOps is not necessarily a new term. It's been around for a long time. It's all about delivering software to the end user. But it allows you to view software delivery as an organization in a more flexible manner. And what I mean by that is the fact that you're able to create a culture within your organization that promotes and encourages collaboration with other teams, that allows your teams to do the best work they possibly can do with focusing on their strengths and the skill sets that they have and things like that. This allows your software delivery organization to become a better partner with the business. Because ultimately what we're doing as software delivery professionals is we're delivering solutions to our end customers, whether those are internal customers, external customers, or a combination of both, that allow them to do their jobs better. And the better we do our jobs and the quicker we can adapt to their needs, the more happy they will be with us. And ultimately that helps everybody. So what is DevOps? Well, DevOps means a lot of things to different people. We talked about this in the previous sessions as well, so this is a bit of a recap for those of you that did watch those sessions as well. But we call it a three-step conversation within Microsoft. And the first step is around culture, the people. It's the most important component of the DevOps, because the people are it's people that build software. Tools don't build software. Process doesn't build software. People build software. And the intent behind this is to say that if you make a capability for software delivery within your organization that is flexible, that celebrates failure as well as success, that allows you to have people to grow and roll as well as to learn new things, that culture will reap benefits in delivery of software and in ways that you probably don't even imagine right now. In order to do that though, there needs to be some process associated with it. And process sometimes gets a bad rap, understood. You know, like process is usually connotated to things that, you know, are dictating what people are not allowed to do rather than what they can do. But a good DevOps process, or a process that is that enables a DevOps capability within an organization, provides air cover for people to do their best work so that they can be innovative, so that they can be creative in their solutions and things. So that's a really important component. And that's the topic that we discussed in the second video, was around process. The first video was on culture. This session is about tools, and tools are the least important component to this entire conversation. And I alluded to this in the previous session, saying that there's no such thing as a DevOps tool. There are tools that can support a DevOps capability within an organization. And what's interesting about these three boxes that you see here is that it's an inverse relationship. It's often when you think about how tools work is, you know, you basically create a process based on how the tools work, right? So, well, the process has to work this way because the tool doesn't allow us to do it the way we want to, for example. Well, a good DevOps capability, a tool that supports a DevOps capability, will configure itself or allow itself to be configured to enable your process the way you want it to be enabled. Just like your process enables a great culture. So culture most important, process second most important, and the least important is the tooling, okay? All right, so let's talk about tooling. And I'm not going to talk about specific brands of tools and things like that. And certainly Microsoft has some great tools with Visual Studio and things, so I guess I technically did talk about it. But what we're gonna talk about here is the traits of a good tool that supports a DevOps capability within your organization. So that's really the crux of what we're going to be talking about here today. As I said before, tooling is the least important component to it. To be honest, you might have the leading tool that supports DevOps in your organization, maybe, you know, and it's awesome and it does all sorts of things. But if you haven't figured out the culture and process components of this, you're ultimately not going to get a good DevOps capability. Your DevOps capability will not be defined by the tooling that you implement within your organization. There's lots of good tools out there. Some are holistic solutions end to end. Some are piecemeal solutions that you sort of mix and match and all those types of things. But ultimately, regardless of whatever tools that you provide for your teams to actually deliver software, if you don't have a good culture fit, and if you don't set up collaboration as key and celebrate success and failure together equally, then you're going to be in a situation where you don't have a good DevOps capability and you're not going to reap the benefits that DevOps actually delivers. So that's something to keep in mind. With all that said, you know, and this is a very, very generic sort of slide here of various different sort of phases of a software delivery cycle, planning, so requirements, creation and ingestion, to architecture, to coding and testing, and you know, what both in a manual as well as an automated standpoint, to deployment and release capabilities, and then finally once you're in an environment such as production, then you're operating it and learning and all those types of things. A good tool solution for DevOps will have coverage of each of these things. Okay, now I'm not saying that you have to use a single tool to do all of this. Maybe it's a hodgepodge of a number of different tools. But your solution, the end solution, so that you have for, you know, supporting your teams to do their great work, will cover every single part of this diagram, and it will cover it well. Okay, it allows collaboration across each of these phases. It allows you to use the tooling that is most appropriate for the job that you need to do. It provides you with insights to allow you to get telemetry and to measure success and to measure failure and to determine whether or not you're increasing your cadence or increasing the time to, or decreasing the time to value, for example, for your various different sort of releases and things like that as well. So all those types of things are really important for tooling within a solution that that supports DevOps, for example. So here's some traits, and I'm not going to go through all of this, but just gives you, for example, some effective traits for planning tools associated with DevOps. Now, it's really important, and the first bullet point, I think, is one of the most important things that I can think of from a planning perspective for DevOps support tooling, is the fact that you have a single source of truth, you know, a book of record, as you can see. What I mean by this is that everybody is running off of the same facts. So a good example of this is if you have a very large project, you might have multiple project managers associated with the project. One project manager has his or her project plan, and another project manager has his or her project plan. And if they're stored locally, you know, on their hard disks, on their laptops, for example, or whatever, the information on those project plans may not reflect accuracy of the actual project. So the status of a certain requirement implementation may be different on one project plan compared to the next and things like that, because they're working off their own source of truth, if you will. So a good example of a good tool that allows you to have that fact-based sort of planning capabilities is the fact that you have a single source of truth, a single, you know, set of facts that are stored centrally, so that, you know, some the project plan can pull from that central fact database and say, this is where we are as of right now, as of this second, according to the central repository of work that we're working off of and things like that. This is the state of this requirement and who it's assigned to and where it is in this process. And if that other project manager decides to have a, you know, work a line item on his or her project plan associated with that same requirement, that project plan is equal to the other project plan from a state and fact standpoint. So you get that full capability there. So I think that's really important, because if you're working off of different sources of truth, you're going to get confusion. And I think that's really important to understand that. You should also be able to visualize how the work flows from one state to the next. And this is where something like a Kanban board becomes, or Kanban, I guess you pronounce it, is very, very effective. So the intent behind DevOps capabilities is that work flows from one state to the next fluidly, and you have very few to no bottlenecks in the process, right? So you don't have a whole bunch of requirements that are sort of collecting in an active state, but they're not finished and things like that. That shows you that there's a bottleneck within your process, and you need to address it in order to make sure that the work flows from one state to the next. So this is another example where the planning tools allow you to determine in a visual way if work is collecting under a single state, or if, you know, you're not running through in the fluidity of requirements and bugs running through the whole process of being implemented and deployed into environments is, you know, not flowing the way you would expect. This is another good important component of a DevOps support tool to allow you to determine the workflow and things of that nature. The other thing is metrics and things like that. So the ability to track and record your experimentation and document learning. So it's not just a situation where you say, okay, well, we tried to do this and it failed and, oh well, on to the next thing, for example. Experimentation, if you remember from the previous session on process, we talked about the three ways of DevOps. Well, basically the third way is all about continuous learning and experimentation. And one of the things that sort of enabled that is the ability to have a central knowledge share so that, you know, you have a troubleshooting guide that evolves over time, just like your solution will and things like that. It's important to be able to have the ability to centrally document exactly what works and what doesn't so that teams can learn from that as well. So that's just some of the things around effective planning. Development tools, likewise, tools that support DevOps are, you know, obviously, developers are an interesting sort of a role within the project, because they're very, very technical. Not that others aren't, but, you know, there's a very, very focused sort of skill set around coding and things like that that developers have. And integrated development environments that support coding, such as Visual Studio, such as Eclipse, such as IntelliJ, such as, you know, Sublime Text even, and things of that nature, and Visual Studio Code or Atom. All those types of editors or integrated development environments provide a very focused experience so that developers can do what they need to do without leaving the development environment that they've chosen, for example. And the intent there is that, you know, that way they can focus at the task at hand and it doesn't actually distract them from doing their work and things like that as well. So the intent behind a good development tool that supports DevOps capabilities is one that provides the least amount of distraction as possible. It's also a tool that allows for experimentation. So, you know, the ability to branch code and to try something so that you can do some performance improvements or something like that without affecting the main branch and things like that. Collaboration features. So the ability to have a conversation with another team member, whether it's a developer or not, are built into the integrated development environment. So for example, the ability to set up a Skype message or a Slack conversation, for example, with another team member right from the IDE, which is actually very, very interesting and things of that nature as well. And likewise, from a testing standpoint, and I include this as part of the development tools conversation, you know, tools that allow your testing team to track their planning for test execution and test plans and things like that, as well as code coverage and things that allow feedback to be rerouted easily to whoever on the team needs to get that feedback, as well as being available centrally so that that capability is allowed to be shared across the entire team. From a release standpoint, you know, release tools that support DevOps are interesting. And this is an area where it's not necessarily very, very new, but I think the number of tools that are coming out in the release area for DevOps, that support DevOps, I should say, are newer than most other sort of processes. And I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that, you know, we have tools now that are much easier to allow operations to automate the deployment of solutions and things like that. So automation is a key component to a good DevOps support tool for release. You are able to automate the deployment processes that you want to, but at the same time, you're able to have a stop in the deployment to do a manual process if you need to as well. In addition to that, it allows you to have all the approvals necessary as well as all the documentation that supports those approvals and the process as well. There's also automation for testing, which is important as well. So the ability to automate, you know, some of the testing that might be done after a deployment, and common way of describing this is things like smoke testing is the way I've heard it anyways. Me, you might have different sort of ideas around it or different names around it. But, you know, once you do a deployment, you may want to have a set of 6 or 7 different sort of automated tests that, you know, navigate through your solution that's in the staging or production, for example. Maybe, you know, add some test data or whatever it is, depending on what environment you're in, to find out whether or not things work still. So that's something that's important as well. And then finally, collaboration tools, just like the development tools, just like the planning tools. The ability to collaborate under a single sort of source of truth, book of record, if you will, is really important as part of the release tool capability. So I think that's important to keep in mind as well. So that if there's an issue, say for example, you know, the deployment doesn't go well and there's a, you know, a stoppage of some sort, there should be some ability to have, you know, create a bug, maybe in an automated way even, but also have some ability to have a collaboration feature associated with that to allow some better information or some anecdotal information from the operations team to say, hey, you know, we tried to deploy this, but the configuration wasn't right because maybe it was pointing towards into a development database instead of a QA database or something like that. So things like that is really, really important as well. And then finally, from an operational standpoint, you know, once your application is running in whatever environment that you are targeting, so let's say, for example, production is a good example of this, you know, a good operations tool that support DevOps should provide information on, you know, whether the site is up and running or whether the application is up and running, whether it's performing well or whether it's healthy, those types of things. So, you know, performance would be, you know, like how well does it react to load and things like that, under whether that's simulated load or whether it's actual production load and things of that nature. Health is another one. So for example, is it, you know, up and running and it performs well, but is it, you know, firing off a lot of errors? You know, are your error logs actually creating events that are, you know, troublesome and things like that? There should be some automated way to allow you to alert the operations team that these types of things are happening and also allow the operations team to alert other members of the team. So the testing team or the architecture team or the development team or even the business team as to what is going on potentially. Usage telemetry. This is a really important component that I think a lot of applications today don't do. And I think it's an area where there's a lot of gain that can be, a lot of productivity that can be gained from this. And the reason for this is to say, you have a set of requirements and those requirements get turned into code and implementation and then they get deployed to production eventually, for example, once they've been tested. That's all well and good, but you're trusting that your business analysts are correct in understanding what the usage scenarios are that are most important to the end user base. And in a lot of cases, they're right. But in some cases, they may not be completely right, or maybe they're even way off, depending on if they had to guess on certain things. Usage telemetry in production is a great example of how you can determine whether or not your users are using the system that you've deployed and created in the way that you expected them to. And if they're not, you have data, hard factual data that tells you maybe they're using another part of the system, or maybe they're having problems with the usability of a certain set of screens because they're doing a lot of clicking that you notice and it doesn't seem right. Well, getting this usage telemetry allows teams to analyze the metrics associated with this and determine whether or not any changes need to be made for future releases and things like that. The final thing that I would mention here, and this is an area where collaboration becomes really interesting, and it's an exciting area for me personally when I think about DevOps, is this whole idea of infrastructure as code. And what I mean by this is that you can define your environment in script. Whether that's using PowerShell in the case of, you know, for example, Microsoft tooling and things like that, or JSON. There's other tools as well that provide different sort of scripts like XML and things of that nature. But the interesting thing is that your operations team can define the end state of an environment, all the virtual machines, all the physical machines, all the cloud services, and, you know, whatever else is associated with an environment. They can define that in script or in markup. And then from there, that can be used by the development team to actually create the system that's necessary as well. And what's interesting about this actually brings the operations team and the development team closer together, because they're actually building out the definition of an environment at the same time that they're coding it as well, which is interesting. And what this means is that as a system evolves over time, the environment requirements will evolve over time as well. Right? So if your system becomes popular, you're going to need more infrastructure and load balancing and all those types of things. Well, maybe you didn't need that in the first version, but maybe by the time the second version comes out, you do need that. Well, you can define the environment version by version using markup, using script and things like that, and version control that the same way you would your code, so that the environment definition is tied to the version of code that is associated with it. And that has repercussions to the quality of the system in a good way, because of the fact that you're actually catering your environment definition based on the needs of the environment at the time of that version, which is really, really important. So just keep that in mind as some of the things that are very important from an operational standpoint. So very, very quickly, some of the traits associated with tooling that supports DevOps. As before in the previous series, so if you've seen the previous two sessions, you'll sort of know how to get started, but I'll explain it for those of you that may not have seen it anyways. You need a plan, right, to get started with DevOps. And it starts with culture, like I said before, and it then goes to process. And then the tooling is the least important component to this, but it is something to keep in mind. But holistically, this is sort of a bit of a definition of how you can sort of set things up. And I know this is very, very, you know, abstract in the way it looks, but at least it gives you a place to start so you can sort of figure out what works and what doesn't for your own organization. Like I said, in the culture aspect and the process session as well, there is no such thing as a DevOps blueprint because of the fact that every single organization will have a different culture and different processes that will enable that culture to succeed and thrive. So there is no such thing as do this. There's no prescriptive guidance as to how to set up a DevOps capability within your organization. It's a trial and error thing, But if you stick with it, I guarantee you, you'll see the benefits of it as time goes by as well. That being said, there's ways that you can learn from the way Microsoft implemented its DevOps capabilities within various different teams. We failed a lot and we succeeded a lot too, but we learn from every single release and every single time we failed and every single time we succeeded. Take advantage of those learnings. We have documented them. There's a link at the end of this presentation that sort of shows where you can get some information around that. I think it might even be in the next slide. But the intent here is that, we went through this process and we learned a lot throughout the process of adopting a DevOps capability. Hopefully, you can learn from our mistakes and not make the same mistakes that we made, for example. And yeah, as I said before, these are some of the resources that we can provide. So there isn't a maturity assessment for DevOps that you can take at devopsassessment.azurewebsites.net. That's the first bubble that you see there. This sort of gives you an assessment of where you might want to focus first when you're actually doing your DevOps capability implementation, based on our learnings that we had internally within our own engineering team. So to keep that in mind. If you have further questions, chances are you have a Microsoft account team that can support you and have a deeper discussion around this and get in touch with them. And if you don't have an account team or if you don't know who they are, we have a lot of online resources that can help you with that. Definitely take a look at that. And then one of these online resources, for example, is this engineering stories website called at stories.visualstudio.com, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of how we implemented our DevOps capability in Visual Studio and Bing and Azure and a bunch of other sort of teams as well, for example. So again, we wanted to share the things that we learned throughout our process of developing some muscle around DevOps, and hopefully that benefits you as well. So that was the end of this three-part series. We talked about culture, we talked about process, and we talked about tooling for DevOps. Hopefully you found it useful. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to put them in the comments window. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.